Our next speaker is Adam Levin, and Adam is the director of the spent fuel and decommissioning for Exelon, and he provides governance and oversight for spent fuel management and decommissioning for Exelon's fleet of commercial nuclear reactors in Illinois, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey. Exelon is the largest nuclear operator in the United States, and his responsibilities include safe management of nearly 11,000 MTU of spent nuclear fuel and other special nuclear material. Mr. Levin has spent over 30 years in the commercial nuclear industry, and he received his master's in nuclear engineering and BS in physics from Rensselaer Polytechnical Institute. Welcome.
Good morning, and thank you, Dr. Kossin. I appreciate the opportunity, and I'm delighted to be participating in this symposium honoring Dr. Parker. And while I have not had the pleasure of working with Dr. Parker, your name and contributions are well known amongst my colleagues in the commercial industry involved in waste management. So thank you. Appreciate it. Managing spent nuclear fuel for a nuclear generation company has grown from being the concern of a handful of reactor engineers at each operating site to being the high priority of our chief executive officers. In this day and age of fiscal responsibility and environmental awareness, the development of next generation nuclear power, which holds so much promise, is being challenged by the management at the back end of the nuclear fuel cycle. The costs to generating companies are enormous. Tens of millions of dollars to install the infrastructure necessary to store spent fuel which can no longer be accommodated in existing storage pools, and up to $10 million a year at each site added to the operating budget during each dry storage campaign. And somewhere down the road, some or all of these costs are ultimately going to flow to the end user, the consumer of electricity. So I'd like to present to you today a quick synopsis of Exelon's views of some of these issues and how current events have shaped our operating and fiscal environment. Okay. I'll make sure I'm in the right order here, if I don't appear to be. Okay. Why don't we switch to the next slide here? Good, I'm okay. So what are we doing about spent fuel management at Exelon? Well, first, I'll give you a little bit of background. It was mentioned that we are the largest generator of nuclear power in the United States, and we actually are the third largest in the world now with 17,000 megawatts electric. The Exelon fleet consists of 17 operating units at 10 sites and four retired units, two at Zion Station, which were retired in 1998, at Dresden, which was retired in 1985, Peach Bottom, which was a high-temperature gas-cooled reactor, which was retired in 1975. Five of these 17 units are boiling water reactors. Are pressurized water reactors, and the balance are boiling water reactors. We share ownership of the Quad City Station with MidAmerican Energy of Iowa, and not included in the 17 are our minority interests in operating the Salem Units 1 and 2 with Public Service Electric and Gas of New Jersey. All of these units were originally licensed for 40 years of operation, but we anticipate receiving license renewals for an additional 20 years for each. We've already been approved for an additional 20 years of operation at Peach Bottom, Quad Cities, and Dresden, and we're waiting for a license renewal at Oyster Creek. Looking at the amount of spent fuel we'll generate over 60 years operating lives of these units, we're projecting discharges of approximately 114,000 assemblies, or about 25,000 metric tons. Considering the amount of electricity that we've generated and will generate, that's a very small amount of waste generated, about 180,000 cubic feet, enough to fill about two Olympic-sized swimming pools. Speaking of pools, this is a typical spent fuel pool, about 40 foot deep, so you're looking down at the spent fuel storage rack through about 25 feet of water in this photo. These pools at a dual unit BWR can hold about 7,000 to 8,000 assemblies. At a PWR, they'll hold about 3,000 assemblies. Absent a location to move spent fuel off-site, we're confronted with an operational issue. The inventory of spent fuel is greater than we can and will be able to store in our spent fuel pools. So the natural first question is, how did we get here? Most of the existing plants in operation today were designed with the idea that spent fuel was to be stored in the spent fuel pools on site for about 5 years, allowing radiation and heat to decay to less than 1% of the post-discharge levels. The fuel was then to be removed for either recycling or disposal. Unfortunately, due to proliferation concerns, commercial recycling became indefinitely deferred in the U.S. in the 1970s, and a national disposal facility has yet to become operational. Even with re-racking these spent fuel pools in high-density lattice configurations, we were generally able to obtain only about 20 years of operational discharges before we ran out of spent fuel pool storage. So in 2000, Exelon began building dry cask storage. Now, we currently have dry cask storage at Peach Bottom, Quad Cities, Dresden, and Oyster Creek. And we have nearly 1,000 metric tons stored in 80 storage configuration units. We're now equipping four other sites for dry storage for spent fuel. Limerick, which will be started up later on this year, Byron, Braidwood, and LaSalle, all scheduled to be in operation before 2012. By the middle of the next decade, all of our sites, with the single exception of TMI Unit 1, will require dry cask storage. Here's a schematic of a typical dry storage system. In this case, it's the Hi-Star system manufactured by Holtec. The system consists of two major components, an inner sealed canister containing the spent fuel in an inert environment, and a heavy overpack of either concrete or metal. The concrete overpack is used for on-site storage, and the inner canister is transferred to the metal overpack for transportation. The inner canister of this system holds either 68 boiling water reactor or 20 or 32 PWR assemblies, which have at least 5 years of cooling time in the spent fuel pool. The canister is made of stainless steel with a wall thickness of roughly 1 inch. After loading, the canister is welded closed, evacuated, and backfilled with helium for better heat transfer. The concrete overpack configuration used has a wall thickness of roughly 3 feet. When loaded with spent fuel, the storage system weighs about 160 tons. In the transport configuration, the metal overpack has nearly 8-inch thick steel walls with a total weight of roughly 125 tons. Transferring the canister from the concrete storage overpack to the metal transportation overpack is performed using a transfer cask and can be executed either indoors or outdoors. The metal overpacks can also be used for storage, but typically they aren't because they are too expensive. Here's a photo of a canister being loaded at the Dresden 1 spent fuel pool. And as you can see, the operation is being performed here completely underwater. And if you look closely, you might be able to see the thin-walled canister, which is inside the transfer cask there. You'll also note at the very bottom of this cask is a steel plate, and actually what that is a shutter. And when this transfer cask is lifted out of the spent fuel pool and placed on top of a concrete overpack, the canister inside can be lowered down through the shutter assembly into the storage overpack. And the same sort of configuration would be true, for loading the canister into a transportation overpack. Just to give you a little bit of an idea of size and configuration, this is a transportation overpack with a sealed canister inside being ready to be placed outdoors at Dresden Unit 1. The original overhead crane at Dresden 1 was not designed for this heavy load. It was only designed for a 70-ton cask. And in our analysis of the building, we realized that we couldn't simply come along and replace the overhead crane, looking at the crane trolley, and the wire rope. To meet the new design requirements. We realized that when we hung a 125-ton cask from it, the building would collapse. So we ended up constructing a completely new crane system supported by the floor of the building rather than the walls, and that's what you see here in this picture. All the spent fuel has been removed from the Dresden 1 pool at this point, and the pool is nearly drained of water. Here again at Dresden is a fully loaded system being moved from the reactor building to the on-site storage location. These loaded transporters weigh nearly 250 tons, which causes us some real headaches with some of the underground commodities and utilities. In many locations, we had to beef up the roadbeds with steel plates or other means in order to protect the underground commodities. The complete operation, bringing a canister into the spent fuel pool, loading the canister, welding it closed, drying it, backfilling with helium, and moving it out of the reactor building to the storage location, takes about 5 to 7 days, so it is a rather lengthy process. Switching over to a site that Ward is familiar with, this is the Peach Bottom Station Independent Spent Fuel Storage Installation, more commonly called the ISFISI. When this picture was taken, there were 18 loaded systems here on the pad. Although it's not very visible in this picture, there's a security fence, actually two security fences, with cameras and motion detection equipment surrounding this pad. The pad itself is roughly 3 feet thick, and it's designed to be hard enough to support not only the weight of the dry cast storage systems, but also it has to be designed so that it's soft enough to absorb the hypothetical load of one of these systems toppling over and keeping the impact load to under 60 Gs. This particular pad was built to accommodate 68 systems, and we're close to being full now at this pad, so we're planning to construct another pad on the other side of the site. There's no additional room at this location where this pad exists. All right, moving on and looking at what the future holds for us, we'll continue to expand pool storage to the extent practicable, and we've already done so at all of our sites. TMI is the only site that we haven't expanded pool storage, and that will be expanded to its full limit next year. As needed, we'll construct dry cast storage. Fortunately, we have sufficient space at each of our sites to dry store all of the spent fuel generated throughout the life of the plants, including license renewal. One option we have considered, but ruled out for now, is consolidating spent fuel at one or more of our existing sites. Unfortunately, this would end up meaning that we would have twice the number of moves of spent fuel, once to the interim site and once again to a DOE facility, and that's not something we'd like to do. And while each of these sites has sufficient size to store all of the spent fuel it generates, it remains questionable as to whether or not we have sufficient size at any one of our given sites to accommodate all of the spent fuel from all of our sites. Also, the plant sites are not very suitable for long-term storage. These sites were chosen because they have reasonable access to large amounts of water for cooling. And as I'm sure you're aware, water and long-term storage of spent nuclear fuel just do not mix. And finally, not mentioned on this slide are licensing and legal, political, and social implications of creating a long-term interim storage facility, which would be substantial. With all due respect to my colleague Ward, our preference at Exelon, given the delay in the National Geologic Repository, would be to move spent fuel from our sites to one or more government-owned centralized interim storage facilities. With commercial spent fuel at a federally owned facility, the future of new reactor development can be assured. I know other speakers are likely to talk about the GNAP program, so I'm going to defer to their expertise. However, one solution which has been proposed is interim storage at one or more of the GNAP facilities. Even with centralized storage, long-term, a deep geologic repository remains an imperative. The DOE's Yucca Mountain program has gone to great lengths to characterize and select a proposed location. While there's been significant political opposition to deep geologic repository at the Nevada site, we would like to see this license application submitted and the NRC and other stakeholders given the chance to complete the evaluation of this proposed site. Until off-site storage or other disposition of spent fuel, or as long as it remains on the horizon, I should say, Exelon is doing what it can, what is necessary to safely store spent nuclear fuel on-site in dry cast storage. Unfortunately, dry cast storage is an operational distraction. It's time-consuming, and it drains resources on operations. Additionally, dry cast storage is very expensive. We have spent over $300 million on dry cast storage since we implemented this technology in our fleet. And we are anticipating spending an additional $300 million to set up the infrastructure necessary at the other sites. And once these sites are up and running, we'll spend $50 to $60 million a year placing fuel into dry storage. The bottom line is that this is not what Exelon nor the local residents who approved siting our sites in the first place signed up for. We really have no desire to dry store spent fuel, nor do our local residents need to see potential de facto storage facilities in their backyards. While some utilities have made no bones about the fact that the federal government's long-term plans for spent nuclear fuel management will not deter their plans to build new nuclear plants, we remain hesitant to make a commitment to build new plants without a clearer path forward. One interesting facet of long-term management of spent fuel is how it impacts our plans for decommissioning. Given the government's delay in developing a repository, we've had to revisit our decommissioning cost estimates a number of occasions, and we've raised those estimates substantially over the past 12 years. If these delays continue, the question becomes, do we move all spent fuel into dry storage upon decommissioning and decommission around the dry storage facility, as others have already done, or we simply delay decommissioning? Others that have gone before us have not had full spent fuel pools that they've had to empty into dry cask storage. And the cost for executing that activity for a spent fuel pool filled with fuel runs between $125 and $150 million. And that's a significant upfront impact to a $1 billion decommissioning fund. While economic and technical considerations favor delayed decommissioning, the social implications of doing so are another matter entirely. Now, some of you may be aware that Exelon has entered into a contract with Energy Solutions to decommission Zion Station in Illinois. Energy Solutions has proposed a rather novel approach to decommissioning, and based upon their analysis and, of course, our review of it, it appears that they have managed to tip the scales in favor of early decommissioning, moving all spent fuel into dry cask storage in the process and decommissioning the balance of the plant. One disadvantage of this approach, of course, is that the spent fuel pool is also decommissioned. And if any issues arise with spent fuel stored on site where dry canister storage needs to be reopened or accessed underwater, we'll have to execute that task at one of our other operating sites. However, I do need to be very clear about this. Given industry experience, we expect the probability of this occurrence to be very low. I've segregated transportation from other spent fuel issues because of its unique social implications. And transportation not only affects our plant's neighbors, but it also affects many others along the transportation route. There are a number of speakers here today who participated in the National Academy study Going the Distance. And in fact, I was pleased to host some of those participants at our plants in Illinois. I've listed several of the principal findings from the study, which again, I suspect others will address later. However, I wanted to put this slide up because Exelon feels very strongly that the National Academies was onto something in terms of their results. While it is technically feasible, the political and social obstacles are substantial and should never be underestimated. Exelon, we are ready, we are prepared to ship spent fuel from our nuclear sites. What we really lack is the opportunity to be allowed to do so. Exelon and its predecessor company, ComEd and PECO, have experience in shipping spent nuclear fuel, in ComEd's case in Illinois. While in the past 15 years, we've shipped primarily individual pins for destructive examination, we've made many truck cast shipments in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s. We have no doubt that transportation of spent fuel can be made successfully, and by that I mean safely and with negligible impact to the public. I don't know how many of you will recall the shipments of spent fuel from the shuttered Shoreham Station on Long Island. The original plans were to ship fuel by rail through New York City, and obviously once the New York City politicians got wind of these proposed shipments, an alternate route was chosen. Spent fuel from Shoreham was shipped east out of Long Island Sound by barge, around Montauk Point into the open ocean, back west to the Delaware River and up to the port of Philadelphia, where it was unloaded loaded onto rail for the balance of the shipment to Limerick Station. And finally, our management direction. First and foremost, continue to safely store spent nuclear fuel at our sites. Second, to be prepared to transport spent fuel when the opportunity arises, which we believe we are. Third, support the development of a geologic repository for spent fuel and high-level radioactive waste. Exelon is hesitant to proceed with construction of a new nuclear plant unless further progress is made by the federal government, in which the federal government takes title to spent fuel and moves it from reactor sites into centralized long-term storage or permanent disposal. We wholly understand the public interest is satisfied only with long-term federal government solution to spent fuel management issue that confronts us today. Thank you.